Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But set an example for the believers. Don't let anyone look down on you.
Welcome to the fifth podcast from ministrytochildren.com, and today I'll be talking with Jason Hauser from seedsfamilyworship.net. Seeds is a music group that creates scripture songs combined with great music. So, Jason, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Can you tell me something about how you started making this type of music?
Well, I mean, the whole Seeds ministry came out of a church in Franklin, Tennessee called Harpeth Community Church. It was a small church plant. This was about 7 years ago. The children's minister asked me to just write some melodies to some scriptures for their vacation Bible school. And she knew I was a songwriter and producer. I've worked with an artist named Matthew West, and we've written a lot of songs together. And so I was working on his very first record. So when I wrote these songs, I was kind of in that style of real high energy, catchy, you know, pop rock music like what Matthew does, and wrote the songs for the kids, but they're word for word scripture. And the kids just grabbed on to the songs. And by the end of the week, for a whole week VBS, Friday, I just remember so vividly standing on the stage leading worship, and I looked around the room and saw all the kids and the teachers singing word for word these scriptures. And I saw something, what God had done. So it was a process over the next year, but God opened doors for me to actually go in and begin making recordings. And we came up with the name Seeds for the ministry because, you know, the seeds of the word. And then our mission was originally to plant the seeds of God's word in the hearts of children. But then over the next few years, God really showed us that the ministry was more than just to kids, but it was for families, and how families had connected with the music, parents with their kids, and they're learning the word together. And so we renamed the ministry Seeds Family Worship, and now our mission has grown into we're planting the seeds of God's word in the hearts of families.
Well, Jason, I really appreciate that, because as a kids pastor, I'm always looking for resources for families, but I'm doing that with the reality in mind that if I put a great resource into this family, it's going to disciple the kids, but it's also going to disciple the families. And I can't tell you how many scriptures I've learned just because I'm a dad who's listening to scripture songs with my kids. You know, what a benefit, what a blessing to have this kind of music in families.
It's funny because I have many lead pastors that come up to me and say, I'm sharing the scripture passage with my church, and all of a sudden I've got this song stuck in my head.
Yeah.
You know, with the scriptures. But we're wired for music. I tell kids, it's like the middle of the Bible is one big song, and music is a powerful tool for memorization. And I heard a statistic that the average person knows it's either 2,000 to 3,000 songs, the lyrics to 2,000 to 3,000 songs word for word by the time they're 21. So, I mean, it's an amazing tool. Like I say, it's something I discovered through just the journey with leading worship with kids at our church. But I've seen how it really does allow us to do something that's so important to hide God's word in our heart. But it makes it fun and easy to do. But then puts those scriptures in us so the Holy Spirit can use them. And then obviously, like with Jesus, you know, when we're facing temptations and trials, that the word is there.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your process when you write these songs. And I know there's a lot of different scripture memory songs out there. And maybe you can tell me a little bit about what makes yours different and how you come up with these songs in the first place.
As far as the process of writing, there's a team of writers that have written these songs over the past. We've done 5 albums, so we've got over 60 scriptures that have been written, and working on a new project right now. But there's a team of writers that have written the songs, and everyone has their own process. For me, you know, many times I'll be reading the word, and I'll read a scripture, and it'll inspire me, and I'll just take out my guitar, or I also play keyboard, and I'll just start with the melody. And I mean, many of the songs, I mean, God is just inspired. They just come, you know, and the word is so, I mean, obviously it's the inspired word of God, and it's just powerful. And so I just has come into songs as a songwriter. It's amazing because the songs just come out, if that makes sense. But as far as the process, I encourage those that are creative, if you're a songwriter or, you know, enjoy doing that. I mean, you really sit a lot of times with the scriptures. My friend who plays bass in my band says I have a formula that I didn't realize. But, you know, you repeat the lines, they rhyme with themselves. And then there's many just internal rhymes with the scriptures that just will come out. You want to repeat to memorize, so you repeat the lines in the verse and then repeat lines in the chorus, and many times that will put the scripture into a song. And I mean, the other thing that I would say is I try to capture, what music does is captures the emotion of a scripture in a way that sometimes reading can't. So, you know, obviously, "Be still and know that I'm God," it's not going to be still and know that I am God. the piece of what you might feel like when we recorded that scripture song, we didn't use like a metronome to guide our process like we normally do. We just kind of let this music bed evolve, and then we just really played it all live in the studio, and just that was what it was, because that was what the spirit of the scripture is. You and I were talking before the podcast, think about it. That's an up song, and think about being positive and noble and true and right. So the spirit of what that scripture is saying, that you want to capture that with the music also.
Jason, I'd like to know how you first became interested in family worship. Was this something that your own family did when you were a child, or something you learned about later as an adult Christian?
You know, no, as far as family worship goes, it's a new concept to me, like it is to so many. Even people that grew up in a Christian home, I did not grow up in a Christian home. I became a Christian at a church camp when I was 14. And then I just began going to church and got discipled by that church. Even in people that grew up in a Christian home, many times the parents did not lead devotions for them. And it's very challenging and actually discouraging thing to do many times for families. And so for me, it was part of the journey with Seeds Family Worship. And having my own kids, when they're younger, we had our family devotion time. We read the Beginner's Bible and some of the picture Bibles. We went through several Bibles as they were kids. And I think that's a natural thing for many parents to do when the kids are very young and learning to read, because every parent knows the value and the importance of reading to your child. But I think once you get a little bit beyond, you know, 2, 3, 4, and then you've read those things, then where do you go? And I think it's challenging for parents. But what I encourage parents to do is just to spend 5 or 10 minutes in a family worship time. And that can be total. That's prayer and reading the word. And you may pick a portion of scripture. You may use a devotion book. Right now for us personally, what we're doing that we want to do this semester with our kids, and they're a little bit older, they're still elementary age, but they're 11, 9, and 6. We have two boys and a little girl, and we're reading through the book of John together. And so what I've done is we've just began John chapter 1, and I'll take a small piece and just unpack it for them. And we'll kind of go through and, you know, read the word, because that's what we do in our church with our teaching too. And I just think you encounter everything that the kids need to know by picking a scripture or a book in this case. And the book of John is an amazing gospel to read through. I encourage those with children our age or older, what a great journey to be able to go through one of the gospels with your children. And when you come up against things that you don't know, that's where you grow and you seek counseling from your pastor, from your friends, from your Bible study group, small group, your church body. Obviously, the resources out there are endless, but it challenges you spiritually as a leader to get into the word, and then you share that with your children, and then inevitably they will ask you questions. And this is like last night for me, my boys asked me a couple questions I did not know the answer to. But that gives you an opportunity to say to them, that is a great question, and just admit, I don't know the answer to that question, but let me go find out, and you bring back the answer to them. So, but all that to say, from our personal experience, but back to the simple concept of family worship, I encourage families, like with exercise, if you're trying to get on an exercise program, don't go run, try to go running or exercise 5 to 7 times a week. Start out with 2 or 3 times a week and start out with 5 or 10 minutes. Just very simple. The younger the children, the shorter the amount of time that you want to spend. Spend time in the Word and then take time to pray. And also, if you have resources to sing a song, it's great to have music as a part of that. It's not necessary. To me, the two main elements are prayer and the Word of God. But the music is also an additional element that's excellent to have and really rounds out that time, just like a church service.
Well, Jason, I really appreciate that, because family devotions, you know, for every family is going to look a little different. And I think that's one of the things I've been teaching here in my church and just doing it in my own home, is to read the scriptures, to pray and to sing. And for us, the way our families worked out, because we've got church a couple nights a week and we've got activities here and there, for us, we try to have at least 2 to 3 good just sit down family dinners a week where we say, okay, this is our time as a family. We're going to have dinner together. We're going to all sit there together, no matter if the little kids are screaming or not, and just talk about our days. And then in that context, I just take out the Bible and I say, let's read this. And the kids know what's up and they know it's our family worship time, but it kind of is so organic into what we're doing, relating to each other as a family. And then we spend time together. We spend time with God's word. We have prayer, and we have prayer all time, all the time in our family, at morning, night, school, different times. But to have that intentional time of worship, and then we'll put on a CD or we'll sing some. We have a few songs in our family repertoire that we kind of know by heart, or we have a CD player in the kitchen. Lately we've been listening to our Seeds music we picked up a few weeks ago at your concert. So it's a good experience. And you know, me and my pastor talk about this a lot, because in the old times, if you read the old Puritan literature, they're saying to their families twice a day, have this big, intense time of family worship in the morning and in the evening, where you're reading at least a chapter or two of Scripture, and the father's praying a priestly blessing, and you're doing all these things. I respect that, and I honor that, and I think if we could do that, our families would be a lot healthier. But where we're at, where our families are at with in terms of busyness and distraction, and they just feel so ill-equipped to do anything.
Yeah.
If we can get our families, like you said, taking those steps in the right direction, creating, it's not just the worship alone, the worship is super important, but just creating a gospel-centered home where parents are modeling gospel-centered lives. And, you know, there's so much that goes into creating a Christian culture of a home that's, I would say, is on par with the practice of family worship, but I think you got to do both. So I appreciate your answer and your compassion for families just starting out.
Well, yeah, and I want to give just, I'd love to add one more just encouraging story from our journey. And also, this could also be a little bit of a warning, you know, for those families that say, okay, we want to do this, and I think we could try to do it a couple times a week to get started, 3 times a week. And so you sit down and let's say, like what happened with me, I sit down, I take out the Bible, and I sit down with my kids, and it's a challenge. And the kids are talking, and then the kids get in a fight, and then I ended up arguing. The kids argued, I get upset with the kids, and I get in an argument with my wife. And I'm like, Lord, I think we're going backwards here.
Right.
It felt like the first week or two, it was just very discouraging for me. And I just want to encourage families, these are spiritual battles, because you're taking that step of faith to do this with your family, and it's going to be challenging. But what happened, and here's the word of encouragement, is I was just sharing a scripture, and this is like in the time of discouragement, and my middle son just said something so profound that he really grasped something in the gospel that he hadn't before, and he communicated it to me, and I was like, wow. In the midst of all this chaos, he got that. and it encouraged me so much. And so I want to tell parents, as you begin to do this, you're starting a new pattern. And anytime, like I always use the health, you know, analogy, because it's challenging. We try to change some of our patterns. You're going to come up against some resistance, but that you pray that God will lead you through that, and that you persevere. It is worthwhile, because although the kids usually can't articulate it, they will be taking these things in. Even when you think they're not, they are getting it. They're seeing your example, and they're seeing that it's a priority just by you doing it. Even when they resist, it's our job as parents to persevere through that, and you will see the fruit. I encourage you that you will see the fruit, but the fruit just doesn't blossom at, you know, the first day that you plant the tree in the front yard, right? It takes a season. And so I just want to encourage parents to, as you begin the journey, to persevere, to pray, and to trust that the fruit will come.
And that's such a great lesson for families to see. And in our church here, we try to lift up examples of families that have persevered. We have a couple of real good examples of families who are connected with our church who did have family worship. I mean, they were doing it in a time when a lot of families weren't doing it, and I know churches weren't talking about it. But those families that had that family hour, I mean, that was that was their policy then. It was an hour of prayer and Bible study with these families, and you think, awesome. Oh my goodness. But the legacy then, when you look at their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren and how God has blessed that family in ways beyond all I could hope or imagine for my own family. And I think, you know what? That's what I want for my kids. That's what I want for my grandchildren who are not yet born. I want that kind of life for them. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Let me move on to kind of a bigger picture question here. And it seems like right now there's something of a movement for family plus church working together to reach the next generation. And I know there's some big conferences out there. You were just at the D6 conference. There's the Orange Conference coming up in the spring. And there's many smaller events where churches or seminaries or other groups are promoting this idea of the family and the church connecting, working together. I know there's Christian publishers are scrambling to get resources out that meet this appeal and help either through the Sunday school or through home discipleship resources. I mean, so all of this buzz is kind of going on. I just want to know, what do you make of all that? And do you think there's any real change happening in families right now?
You know, I have seen since the beginning of Seeds Family Worship, when we started doing family events 5 years ago, where I go into churches and lead worship events with families and teach these scriptures. When I started it, some families were having, you know, first annual events or second annual events for families, trying to bring families together. And in the past 5 years, I've really seen that grow. And as you say, I've seen these conferences and been a part of these conferences. And I think there really is a family movement, and I think it's so important, and I think it is going to continue. One of the reasons that I believe that is because in our culture, families are being so challenged by even the definition of both marriage and family, and I don't want to get into any politics, but I think we can see the things that are going on in our culture. That families are just being so challenged, and God created families for a great purpose. God created marriage for a great purpose, and we want to be in line with God's purpose for both marriage and family. So I think all of those things, and then just so many broken homes, and the church is like, well, how are we supporting families? I think the question has really come up, and how are we really supporting families and seeing that need? So churches are seeking to support the family unit and then also to work together as the biblical model. Because really, in family worship, and according to Deuteronomy chapter 6, it tells families to impress God's ways on their children and do that as a part of their everyday life. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up, which means the parents, it's important, Tony, as we're saying family devotions are, but being in the car, sharing the scripture with your children, listening to a Christian song on the radio, talking about what it means. When you wake up, like you say, you pray as part of your everyday in your home. It's important to set aside time, but it's also important just to make God the center of every bit of your life. And that is our worship. The church and the family partnering together and really trying to be effective in raising up the next generation and trying to put a little bit of a structure under, well, how can we do that well as a church and as a family, to where the church really, as its job, equips the families and equips the ministers to do what they're called to do. So I do believe that it is a movement. I think it's such a needed movement. As I have said earlier in this interview, and I will keep saying, I just encourage every family. One of the most difficult things, I think, in all of life is to raise children. Even to not do it well is hard. I mean, being a parent is so challenging because it grows us up. It takes us out of our selfishness. But it's one of the greatest, most purposeful, life-giving, loving, powerful, amazing things to do is to be a parent. And what you pour into your children, it's awesome to experience that love, and you get to see the love the Father has for us. He's the perfect Father. We're not perfect. But how we love our children is an image of that love. So I just encourage, you know, I always encourage families. It's a challenging thing in your life. You have to be proactive to lead your children, but it's such a worthwhile endeavor. And actually, it's the number one ministry of every parent, you know, and every spouse is to their spouse and the children. That's our first ministry. And then all other ministries to our churches, to our friends, they fall underneath that. You know, the model is for a a man to lead in the home, and many men now are not leading in family worship. But that's what the biblical model calls for. But I've had many moms ask me, well, my husband, either he's not a Christian or he's not doing this. We've discussed it. He's not doing it. Is it wrong for me to lead, you know, my children in a family worship time? And I encourage them that it's not wrong for them to do that. I think that to engage, especially with Christian, a Christian husband, to continue to encourage him in doing that. But, and the best thing with a husband and a wife is to do it together. That is the ultimate. Now, even with our kids, we don't always have our devotion time together. Many times our 6-year-old, my wife will do something with her. I'll do something with the boys. We may do it together. My wife may need that time just to herself after she's been dealing with the kids all day after, and that's okay too. So show a lot of flexibility and grace. And then for single parents, and more often single mothers, just to lead, you know, not to be hard on yourself and that and taxing. Your time is so taxed, but I encourage you to help find, you know, a couple of mentors at your church, especially for your young men, you know, to find a man that you trust that's a loving, godly man that can come alongside that young man and help mentor and be a spiritual influence in his life.
I agree. This is such a big issue. And I always think back to what Paul wrote to Timothy in this process of Timothy's life, where it was his mother and his grandmother who led Timothy, who taught Timothy the scriptures before Paul was even on the scene. You know, later we know Paul came in and Paul took on Timothy as a in a mentoring relationship and deployed Timothy into ministry. But it was It was mother and grandmother who taught Timothy the scriptures. 2 Timothy, we all know 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed, right? But then verse 14, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it. Okay, so verse 14, he's encouraging Timothy to hold fast the word of God, because you know the those from whom you have learned it, the character of those who taught you, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So if you think of verse 14 and you think, oh, Paul taught him the Bible, well, then you see no verse 15, and then you do a little backtracking on Timothy's background. And there's another verse where he's commending Timothy's grandmother. You got to put two together. 2 Timothy 1:5. So you backtrack to 2 Timothy 1:5, and he's talking to him again here, and he's encouraging him to be faithful here. So he does this in twice in the same book, and he says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now also lives in you. Yeah. So you put those two together, and you get this picture of Timothy. And the ministry the Lord's called him to was so much shaped by these Christian women in his life. And that's an encouragement to a lot of women who have a spiritually absent husband or have a physically absent husband. Any of these situations, you know, God can use your efforts, and God wants to use your efforts. And I assure those moms out there that God is just as passionate about reaching those children as you are, to open yourself up to that and make that a priority.
Yes, that's awesome. I love, you know, I have not put that scripture, Tony, in context of that before, but that's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, Jason, I just want to say thanks again for you taking the time and having this conversation with us. And I know you wanted to pray for our listeners before you go. So I just want to say thanks and let you pray to close us out.
Great. Well, Tony, thank you so much. I mean, it's awesome to connect with other dads and other ministers and with families like we have, that we just have the same passion. So just thank you so much for letting me be a part of this. I just hope everyone who's heard this podcast is encouraged, and let's just close with a word of prayer together. Lord Jesus, God, you are faithful to give us the strength to do what you have called us to do. And I just pray for every mother and father, every grandparent, anyone who's listening to this podcast, who's just in charge of the ministry of children, and also leaders that are listening to this. I pray, God, for your strength for them. I pray that you'll give them courage, God. And your word says that you are the light and that the darkness has not overcome it. And we see a lot of darkness just sin in our world, and we are tempted to fear for our kids. But God, I just pray for your light to drive out the darkness and your perfect love that drive out the fear, that we could do what you call us to do and just teach our kids your ways, and that you'll be honored, God, that we can show your greatness, and you are worth every bit of time, God, that we invest in our relationship with you and every bit of time we invest in our kids, God. I just pray for your help and strength, and thank you for this time. And God, we just pray that your will be done in all things. We praise you, Lord, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 55:22. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will sustain you. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will sustain you. And he will never, never, never let the righteous fall. Let the righteous fall. No.